Welcome to Healing Hearts Ministries, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical solutions for today's problems. Healing Hearts is brought to you by the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. You are welcome to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for Word and Worship, or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Now, let us join Pastor Tapper as he shares with us the living Word of God.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another Healing Hearts. I'm Pastor Isaac Tapper, pastor of the New Covenant Church of God at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. Thank you for joining us today. If you will turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, we will read at verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. All of the prophets spoke of the coming of Jesus Christ, from Moses to Malachi. Moses, whom I consider the first prophet, told us of him in the tabernacle and told us of the coming of Jesus in the tabernacle offerings and the sacrifices and the commandments and even the furnishings. The table of showbread pointed to Jesus as the bread of life. The candlesticks pointed to him as the light of the world. The altar of incense pointed towards Jesus as the one who receives and accepts our prayers. All of the offerings were a type of Jesus Christ, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, and even the whole burnt offering. They all point to Jesus Christ. This 23rd verse is one of those verses like John 3:16. It contains the whole history and plan of redemption in just a few words. God with us hints that there was a time when God was not with us, a time when sin had separated us from him. It suggests that man turned back to God and God was reformed or recreated inside of us, and we received again the divine nature that we had when he first created us. This verse is a direct quote from Isaiah 7:14. The only difference is that Matthew tells us what Emmanuel means. To quote Matthew, he said, which is being interpreted or translated, God with us. The reason for this interpretation or translation was not for the first century Jewish converts. They knew what Emmanuel meant from the Old Testament. It was for the non-Jew, the Gentile, to understand. It tells me that God wanted the truth of this gospel to be known not only to the Jewish converts of the first century, but to all God's people everywhere and for all time. Emmanuel means God with us. This prophecy was given by Isaiah at one of the lowest points in the history of Israel and Judah. The kings of Judah had just lost 120,000 of its citizens in war, and another 200,000 had been captured. His fortified cities were falling, and it would not be long before the very walls of Jerusalem would fall. But King Ahaz refused to trust God. God told him in Isaiah 7 and 9, If you will not believe, surely you will not be established. Then the prophet Isaiah went to the king and said, Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign, O king. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. But it took 700 years for this prophecy to be fulfilled. And now, 700 years later, God came to Joseph in a dream. And while he thought about what to do with his pregnant fiancée, the Lord came to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife. for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The baby that she is carrying is not yours, Joseph. God impregnated her with holy seed. And verse 21 tells us, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. His name shall be called Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. And now we see before our very eyes the 700-year-old prophecy come into realization. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This verse, more than any other verse in the Bible, tells us that Jesus is the God of heaven and living with us. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Bible tells us in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then in verse 14 of that same chapter, John 1, we read, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That was Jesus Christ John was speaking of. Jesus could have come as an angel. He could have come as a demagogue. He could have come in any form he chose, but he chose to come as a baby, defenseless. No one should be afraid of a baby, a human baby, yet a divine human baby. He chose to come as a baby so that he could understand everything you experience. He wanted to know your fears and your pains. He wanted to know your hurts and your deep emotional distresses. God sent his son into the world as a baby so that he could understand everything that we go through. The first Adam came as a full-grown adult, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So the first Adam didn't have to experience what it was like to grow up as a child on the face of this earth. He didn't know what it was like to have parents and to be obedient and to go through the trials and tribulations of this earth. But God, in his wisdom, sent the second Adam to be born of a virgin so that he could experience all of the emotions, all of the pains, all of the things that we go through. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 2 that he was fully human. He was hungry at times because the Bible said, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. So Jesus knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what you're experiencing when you look into your refrigerator and there's no food for tomorrow, no food for the children this afternoon or this evening. Jesus knows what hunger feels like. And the Bible said he knows what it's like to be tired, because in Matthew 8 and 24, the Bible says, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. He was tired in the boat. Jesus knows what it's like to be tired and to fall asleep at the end of the day, for he was tired. He was asleep in the boat. He knows what it's like when you come home from work and you just fall in your bed for just a few hours sleep. And the Bible said Jesus also had emotions, because Matthew 26 and 37 tells us, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. So Jesus knows what it feels like to have emotional pain, to have emotional trauma, because the Bible said that Jesus was sorrowful and deeply distressed. The Bible also tells us that Jesus knew what it was like to experience learning. For in Luke 2:52, the Bible said, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and grew in favor with God and man. So he knew what it was like to experience learning. His humanity was on display for all to see. He was like us. In fact, the Bible tells us in Matthew 13, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, not the same Judas who betrayed him, but Jesus had a brother called Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So Jesus had a family, he had a mother, he had brothers, and the Bible said he had sisters. Why is it important that we know all of these things about Jesus? Because it means that Jesus can fully identify with us. Yet he was fully divine. He was God manifested in the flesh. He was born a baby. Yet by his tiny little hands, he could uphold or sustain the entire universe. He was only 30 years old, yet he existed eternally. The prophet called him the Ancient of Days. He got tired, yet he was omnipotent. He was all-powerful. He died, but yet he conquered death. He returned to heaven, and yet he is present with you every day and every night. These two natures are unified in one. The gospel said, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. That means that Jesus is God with us. God is no longer the mysterious, unknowable, unfathomable deity in some far-off place in the sky. God had descended to earth in the form of a little baby. God was no longer to be feared, an object of dread or terror. He came as a baby like any other human. No one fears a baby. Even though he existed throughout eternity, he chose to enter the sphere of awareness and time as a baby. The Bible said that God impregnated his mother by the Holy Spirit, and the word for his birth in Matthew 1:18 means Genesis. In Matthew 1:18, we read, "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." The word birth means Genesis, and it's the same word that's used in the first book of the Bible. That tells me that the same Holy Spirit that impregnated Mary was the same Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters of creation, and it reformed and recreated the world that we now know. The same Holy Spirit that said, "Let there be light," and there was light, is the same Holy Spirit that brought to us the light of the world. The same Holy Spirit that brought order out of chaos is the same Holy Spirit that impregnated Mary with the seed of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The reason for the birth of Jesus is given to us in verse 21, for the Bible says he will save his people from their sins. So Jesus Christ came to implement the plan of salvation for all humanity. Ever since the beginning, when Adam and Eve failed in the garden, God set into place the redemption plan. He allowed Adam and Eve to be spared by his mercy and his compassion by covering their nakedness with coats of skin. The very first sacrifice recorded in the Bible was that of a blood sacrifice, foreshadowing a type of what was to come in Jesus Christ. God called a man by the name of Abraham from the place called the Ur of Chaldees. And the Bible said that Abraham left the Ur of Chaldees not knowing where he was going simply because God called him. The Bible said that he believed in the one who called him. And the Bible said that God accounted his belief, his faith, for righteousness. In other words, because Abraham believed God, God accounted or put into his account or gave him righteousness, foreshadowing the very act or the very process in which we are saved today. We are saved through faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We are saved by grace and that through faith. Abraham was a type of the salvation that we receive today. He was called the father of the faithful. From Abraham, God sent to us his son Isaac, who married Rebekah, a Gentile, which is a type of Christ and the church. And from Isaac, God sent to us Jacob. And from Jacob, we received the 12 tribes of Israel, in which God selected one of those, Judah, to be the royal line that the Messiah would come through. Through Judah came kings, mighty kings, and eventually through Judah came Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And when Jesus was born on the face of the earth, he was called Emmanuel, God with us. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son to redeem us, or to call us back, to save us from our sins. So the birth of Jesus meant that God could now reconcile us to him, make us his friends once again. He could reunite us with him and settle the old score of sin once and for all. Jesus became our righteousness. So when God looks at us, he no longer sees us, but he sees us covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And because we are covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and because we live and believe and have faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says God justifies us. And I don't want to oversimplify the word justification, but a simple definition that I always like to use is that God makes us just as if we had not sinned. How is it possible that God could look at fallen humanity and see us as sinless creatures? I think to find the answer to that, we can go back to the Old Testament. Remember when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and they went through the land of Moab, and there the Moabites were afraid of them, so they called a prophet by the name of Balaam to curse God's people. Balaam came, they paid him money to curse God's people, and he looked down on God's people, and Balaam said some astounding words. He said, "I see no iniquity in Jacob. I see no sin in the people of Israel." Now, how Balaam could have said that, I don't know, because the children of Israel had just finished dancing around the golden calf. They had just finished worshiping idols. But when he looked down upon the people of Israel, he saw them covered with God's mercy. Even in the Old Testament, God's mercy was prevalent. God's mercy was manifold even in the Old Testament. They were covered with God's mercy and with God's compassion. So when the prophet was ordered to curse God's people, he said, "I see no iniquity in them." And he said, "I cannot curse what God has blessed." So the same thing is relevant to us today. No one can curse what God has blessed. And even though your life may not be a sinless life, God's mercy and God's grace covers you. His blood covers you. And so God treats you through the grace and mercy and righteousness of Jesus Christ, just as if you had not sinned. Now, I know there's someone sitting out there saying, "Well, Pastor, if God's grace covers us just as if we had not sinned, that means we can sin as much as we want to." The Apostle Paul answers that question by saying, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And their answer came forth a resounding, "God forbid. You shall not continue in sin." Just because you are covered with the grace of God does not give you license to sin and to do anything you want to do. God's grace covers you. His love covers us. Now, instead of being confined by laws and rules and regulations, we are confined by the love of Christ, because the love of God constrains us. Love is stronger than any law that anyone could ever make. So now, like Abraham, we believe, and God accounts to us that belief for righteousness. He puts it on our account, and because we are covered with the righteousness of Christ, now we are justified. God treats us just as if we had not sinned, not because we have not sinned, but because he sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And now, because he sees us as just individuals, the Bible said we are now sanctified. And sanctification is simply the act of being Christ-like. It's simply our day-to-day experiences becoming more and more Christ-like. Many people believe that as soon as you are saved, you are walking 100% like Jesus. That's not the reality. The reality is, as soon as we are saved, we're like babies that need the strong milk of God's word so that we may grow thereby. So as we are saved, we then become more and more like Christ every day of our lives. So God sanctifies us. And what does sanctified mean? Sanctified means to be separated for the things of God. Everything in the tabernacle was sanctified. That means it was fit for God's use. And so once our lives become sanctified, then God can use us for His will and for His glory. Then the Bible said, once we are sanctified, God glorifies us. Our glorification is still yet future. One day, we're going to exchange these bodies that God has put us into, these fleshly bodies, and we're going to exchange these bodies for our glorified bodies, which God has prepared in the third heavens. And so we will come out of these bodies. We will receive a new body that God has prepared for us. For John 14 tells us, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Do not fear, dear people of God. For God said, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent or this body that we live in now, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. God will not leave your spirit unclothed." The Bible said, "For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality might be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." So the plan of Jesus to save us from our sins starts with faith, believing. And as we believe, God accounts to us righteousness, just like He accounted to Abraham. And because God covers us with His righteousness, God justifies us. And once God justifies us, God also sanctifies us, and then He glorifies us. And the glorification will take place not just in this life, but in a future life when you receive your glorified bodies from the Lord. How do we know that God has a glorified body prepared for us? 1 John 3:2 tells us, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be like, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." We shall be like Him. So I hope you now understand that God has a plan to save us. And when the Bible said Jesus will save His people from their sins, God put that plan into action. For the Bible said His name shall be called Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God the Creator recreated all things, and now because He is with us, He can turn our hurts to joy, He can turn our suffering to satisfaction, He can turn our rebellion to clothes of righteousness, and He can turn our sin to salvation. Because God is with us, nothing is impossible. God bless you, dear people of God, as we draw to the close of another year and start a brand new year. You are still standing, and your strength is in God. For you must remember that since God is now with us, that you can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens you.
You have been listening to Pastor Isaac Tapper and Healing Hearts Ministry, brought to you from the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York, 11369. Join us on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock for more Word and Worship, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical answers for today's difficult problems. Healing Hearts is a listener-supported ministry, and we appreciate your financial support. If you would like to support this ministry or obtain a copy of today's entire program, call us at 917-935-5374 or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Join Pastor Tapper next week at the same time for more Healing Hearts, and may God's love continue to restore your life.